We're in a series called After God's Own Heart. And our goal is to be, is to what it looks like to be a God-centered life. Last week we talked about David and we talked about fighting for the heart of our King. And we learned that in this series we're not aiming at nothing. We're aiming with intentionality at the heart of our King. Amen? And we learned last week that sometimes we have to fight through the situations of life. Sometimes we have to fight through the things that are bringing us down in order to fight and show the intentionality that we want to reach for the heart of our King. But here's one thing I want you to know. Because I don't know, I don't remember if I said it last week, so if I didn't, I'm going to say it this week. Not only do we fight for the heart of our King, but guess what? Our King fights for our heart. That our King fights through all the things that many would say, all that's impossibilities. And He fights for our heart. As we look into the story where David's beginning began, at his anointing, the fact that David was the youngest. If you turn your Bibles just briefly to 1 Samuel chapter 16, I just want to point out one verse to you that we're going to use this morning. So 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Out of all the rigmarole of trying to figure out which son he was going to choose. And in that awkwardness of the moment when Samuel has to look at Jesse and say, is this all you got? And then the awkward moment when Jesse's like, well, there is the youngest, which actually that word in Hebrew is lost in translation. He wasn't saying that he was the youngest. He was actually saying he's the smallest. But you'd be the smallest too if you had seven older brothers, right? My brother-in-law actually comes from a large Irish Catholic family, and there was 10 of them in the family. So mealtime for them was actually an event. And he would say that if you didn't pull your hand back fast enough sometimes when food was on the table, you'd come back with a fork stuck in the back of your hand. But so 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height. I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Amen? That's a great promise. There's a lot of things in the scripture this morning that I really wanted to kind of pull out for you. But I think this is it. I think this is it. I think this is for us. The realization of what we discovered this morning through our time of prayer and our time of worship, you know, they were in the business of appointing kings based on their height. They said that Saul was head and shoulders above the rest and that he was really great to look at. And so all of a sudden, you have David, the youngest, the smallest, the smelliest, the one who was doing the job that none of them wanted to do, relegated out to the field. His father didn't really pay close attention to him. I mean, he even says, well, yeah, I do have one more, but he's out in the field. Almost to say, don't mess with him. Don't bother him. And it's amazing because all of a sudden David shows up. And what does the word say? If we look down in verse 13. Rise and anoint him. He is the one. Can you imagine that moment for Samuel? After looking at all of these kind of fine specimens that would be considered kings, they looked the part. He didn't care if they acted the part or not. But then all of a sudden, God reminds Samuel about what he's looking for on the resume of somebody who is wanting to be a person after God's own heart. And what is that? He says, don't consider their outward appearance. For man looks at the outward appearance. But for me, I look at the heart. So the challenge for us this morning is, when he looks deep into your heart, what does he see? Because for a lot of times, this is good news for us, that he looks at the heart and not at the outward appearance. But then there's also a flip side to this. There's a side for us that I think we need to a little bit be concerned. Because as much as we try to shroud what we look like and to put on appearances to show everybody else that everything is fine, everything is great, and we come to church on Sunday morning, we smile and we sing and we say, "Isn't God great?" But we can do all those things. But if our heart isn't clean, if our heart is dirty with the things that we know are creeping in, that's when it starts to get difficult. That's when you start have to realize that God doesn't look at the outward appearance. God doesn't look at how much you can say how great things are, or how you can go to church and say how awesome life is, how great God is. If you're not living it out when nobody's looking, God's going to look deep within your heart. But there is good news for us. There is good news. David was the smallest and the youngest. He was forgotten by his father. He was hated by his brothers. He had the worst job. And here's something really interesting, and I'm not going to go too far into detail, but Deuteronomy 23:3 actually points to the fact that David was of a descendant of a Moabite. And we know from Deuteronomy 23 that Moabites cannot be heirs to Israel. But then all of a sudden we have David as a part of that, because remember, his great-grandmother is Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite who married Boaz. Ruth and Boaz had a son named Obed. When they had their son Obed, then Obed married, and he had a son named Jesse. And we know that Jesse was David's father. But there's this command in Deuteronomy, the Deuteronomic law, that says that a Moabite would never become an inheritor or a king of Israel. But here's the difference. God anoints kings. God appoints kings, not laws. Not laws. It's not about the list of what you do and what you don't do. It's about following after God's heart and allowing God's heart to shape what you do and what you don't do. It's not about looking at a list of laws and rules and saying, "Well, if I just do these things, then everything will be okay." It's about allowing God to look at you and to say, "Here I am, Lord, all of me." And David actually had the market cornered. David had the market cornered on this whole understanding of that his heart was an important piece to God. So we see that David wasn't expected to do much or to even be much. But what does God tell Samuel in that moment? As soon as he sees David, he says, "Rise and anoint him. He is the one." Maybe this morning you're unassuming. Maybe this morning you feel lost in the shuffle. Maybe you feel forgotten by people or hated by your family. Maybe you have a terrible job, or you feel lost wandering around in this life. Maybe you feel underappreciated. Maybe you, even in my own life, people didn't expect much or to do much. Our stories are a lot like David's stories. Our stories look very similar when you start to compare how David felt in this world that just kept trying to push him out to the fields. That just kind of push him out to the margins. Felt lowly. Mistreated. And yet when he walks into the room, God speaks to Samuel, "Rise, anoint him. He is the one." So here's the good news for us. God looks through your doubt. He looks through your fear. He looks through your pain, your hurt, and he says, rise, you are the one. Amen? He says, you are the one that I want to use to do great things in my kingdom. Because remember, God anoints and appoints kings. Nobody else does that. And it doesn't matter how far you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. When you join your heart with his heart, incredible things happen. And God looks at you and he sees a king. How amazing is that? How amazing is that promise for us this morning? You know what? The truth is, in David's story, it's just like our story, because David at that point still had a choice. David could have walked out of the room and he could have ran away and he never would have become king. That could have easily have happened. But instead, he tackles this new job. It was a big job. And he knew that only God was going to be able to help him. One of the Psalms that actually helps us in reference this morning as we end right here, as we close, it's Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. And it's one you're pretty familiar with. But I want you to hear it from the heart of a tiny, underappreciated, overworked shepherd boy named David. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. This is a prayer for those who want to live a God-centered life. This is a prayer of a tiny king who is just desiring to make it through the next day. This, for me, serves as a prayer that I can pray every morning, saying, search my heart, O God. Find any wickedness or any offense in me. Purify me, Lord. I mean, look at this. Search my heart, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. If there's anything that you hear this morning, I want you to write this scripture down, Psalm 139, 23 and 24. And if you're struggling, like many times I've struggled and struggle, to think, how can God use me? And to think, what more can God do through me? It's praying this prayer of examining. Search me. Know me. Test me. Say that with me. Search me, know me, test me. Say it one more time. Search me, know me, and test me. And then there's one last part of this. Lead me. Say that with me. Lead me. So let's add that to the end. Search me, know me, test me, lead me. That's our prayer this morning. Would you stand as we close? Our gracious Heavenly Father, you've done incredible things among us this morning. Lord, we thank you for the humbled moments, Lord, where we got to draw close to you and to cry out to you as the God of the impossible, Lord, to pray for impossibilities to be overcome. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that we had to anoint those with a healing touch. Lord, that comes directly from you. And Lord, I thank you for knowing me. Lord, I thank you for searching me and knowing me, Lord. I thank you for testing me. And Lord, ultimately, I thank you for leading me. So, Lord, I pray that you would search us. I pray that you would know us. I pray, Lord, that you would teach us. And I pray, Lord, that you would lead us. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And amen. You are dismissed.